when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good evening out there, everyone. It's absolutely a joy to be in here tonight. Normally, I'm just really nervous, man, just tearing at the bit. You know, I overdo everything. But tonight, we're going to have a little fun. For one thing, well, the bad part is Jacob is out, Lee's out. They deserted old Pappy at the last possible minute. The last I heard, like I was telling Sam. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Matt's in tonight, fella, and so is Sam. We're going to rock and roll. But y'all pray for Lee. I think Lee ran off and I heard he joined a nudist colony, but then I heard he was snared in an Epstein sex scandal. You know, they got that Lolita Express, but Lee, you know how Lee does everything. He got on the geriatric express by mistake. So the dude got stuck with a bunch of 70, 80-year-olds. So he's probably been violated by now. I think Jacob just went out and joined the Mooney colony. I don't know. But they're supposed to come back in and give us a full report next week. Anyway, like I said, we got the young master Matt tonight. They could not corrupt him yet. I hope, Matt, you hadn't been corrupted yet, have you, son?
No, the Masons tried to get me. They tried to tie me up and throw me into their secret meeting halls. But I had to fight them away, and I'm here, and I'm ready to rock. So.
Well, you know, we do have a price. We can be bought, and it wouldn't take much. Well, I'll tell you what. Y'all, we're just going to have a rock and roll good time tonight. Before we get going, before we have too much fun, and by the way, one more bad thing. Sam absolutely, positively declined. Listen, I volunteered to be his conscience. And he said, no way, Jose. He said I would lead him straight to hell. I just don't believe I'm that bad. I think I'm pretty well sitting up there. You know, I'm just about a foot away from the pearly gates already. I don't know how much I can be any better. But anyway, Matt, with that, I guess, son, you might as well take a prayer, take the prayer, throw a little extra prayer in there for Pappy tonight, because I'm feeling kind of wild. So people, bow your head and get ready for Matt, and give us a, whenever you're ready, son, give us the old prayer.
All right. Let's get serious now, because it is serious business. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful day and waking us up today to serve you one more time. Father, thank you for the salvation you offer through Christ your Son. His blood paid our ransom. We have no other sacrifice other than him. And Father, we pray that you replace the leadership in this country. We're under attack every day, and these people assault your children every day. And Father, we pray that you just replace them in a divine way, in whatever way possible, but we pray that you give us leaders that allow us to serve you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for your love and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Mr. Matt. That is just really wonderful. And, you know, Matt, your prayers always hit it right on the money. At least pretty good when he's not running off, you know. But I think everybody has to have a break every now and then. And I hope they have a good time tonight, and they'll be back next week. But, you know, I'm just going to give a quick outline, and then we're going to talk about just a couple of news items. Some of the Blood River has covered, not really in depth, but we did a pretty good job a while back about that Jeremy Epstein thing. But tonight, on the first hour, at the top of the second segment, we're going to have in Rick Tyler. He is running for the president of the American Freedom Party. Y'all probably all know him real well. We were up there, me and Matt and Lee. We were up there a couple of weeks ago at Montgomery Bell. We had a wonderful time. They treated us like rock stars up there. And we had a really a broadcast of, I mean, probably the only marathon broadcast that our show's ever been involved in. Sam's probably done everything you can do. And he's coming on the first hour. The second hour, y'all, we're going to have Dave Gaharry back on. I talked to him. And, you know, he wrote that book. In fact, he was on, he's been over before, and we had the survivor of the Liberty, and they discussed the book, Erasing the Liberty. Well, guess what? They're bringing a movie out. It's not going to be called Erasing the Liberty. It's going to be called Sacrificing the Liberty. So Dave's going to be coming on the second hour tonight. And I hope y'all really enjoy. Oh, guess what? Oh, next week we have this lady. I see Rick Tyler's calling me right now. But anyway, I'll have to get him in a minute. But anyway, just phone call. Excuse me, y'all got kind of distracted there for a minute. Next week we have this lady named Gerda Voss. Gerda Voss, she's currently living in Germany. She's going to be calling in next week, God willing. We met her, I think Matt probably remembers her. We met her at the National Solutions Conference a couple of weeks ago when we were up there at Montgomery Bell. She's a wonderful lady. She's very well connected with Tom Sunik and the General Nicholas. I don't know General Nicholas' last name, but if any way possible, we're going to get the General Nicholas back in. I think he's probably the most impressive guy I've met that we've had as a guest on Blood River, and probably even back when I was with the cesspool. But we're going to have them. That's who's coming up. Now, tonight, if we have time, I would like to bounce a few things off of the audience and off of Matt before Rick comes on. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to even ask Rick to comment on some of this stuff. You see, the Jeremy Epstein scandal. You know, the Labor Secretary, Alexander Acosta, under our current president, Trump, he's had to resign because, you know, when he was down there in Florida, I think he was the federal prosecutor that made this sweetheart deal. He let this scumbag, this lecher, this tick, this flea of humanity, this Jeremy Epstein, he let him off with a slap on the wrist. Now, that's coming back to haunt him because, you know, all these little chickens are coming home to roost. I see where there's the chief of police, I think, that was down there, the sheriff in Florida. He got disgusted because he couldn't get the state to do anything down there, the state attorney general. He escaped. He escaped with a slap. And guess what? Guess who else is? Here's what I don't understand. Bill Clinton. Everybody and his mama knows that Bill Clinton was on that Lolita Express that went to that child sex slave island. Numerous times. And we have other things to talk about. We need to get Jim Rothstein on this to talk about this stuff because he's still real collected. But, you know, man, I'm going to throw this question to you. We talked about a couple of weeks ago. There were two state GOP representatives. One of them was in Pocahontas, Arkansas. One of them was in Norman, Oklahoma. Well, the lady in Pocahontas, Arkansas was shot in the back of the head, execution style, New York, South Chicago, execution style. Pretty much the same thing happened to the GOP rep in Oklahoma. He was killed in Norman, Oklahoma, the hometown of the University of Oklahoma Sooners. Well, the scuttlebutt is that these people were inspected where they were investigating this child sex ring. And listen, Matt, when we get back, when we have a little time, we're going to go back. We're going to get Rick to talk about some of this when he's through. Anyway, people are about to run out of town. We've got to go to our first break, and then we're going to bring our first guest up. Be right back.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Folks, I sure like that song. I wish I could let that thing go about another half of a minute or so, but we can't because we have a distinguished guest on tonight. He's on the line right now. His name is Rick Tyler. He's the dad of our co-host, Jacob Tyler, and he is a big kahuna in the American Freedom Party, and he's getting ready to run for president as the candidate for the American Freedom Party, and I want him to talk about that. But before we go to that, before I forget, how you doing tonight, Rick?
I'm doing great, Eddie. It's great to be on
with
you.
Great. Yes, it is good. Before we get into whatever you want to talk about, me and Matt were talking about something. If there's any time at all, I want to get your, before, when you get through talking about whatever you have to talk about, I want to get your slant, your take on this never-ending Jeremy Epstein debacle that even Vladimir Putin has talked about. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts has talked about. The guy has sinned, and along with Bill Clinton, gone to Lolita Island. How many times Bill Clinton has been there? But if there's been two recent deaths connected to this thing, to this scam involving President Clinton. One of the people were killed in Arkansas, one in Oklahoma. But if there's time, I would like to get your take on that. And Matt, I want you to remind me that. What are we going to talk about tonight, Rick?
Well, the Epstein subject is front burner. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with, making a few comments on that right out of the starting gate, because it's long been obvious to me that this guy, I'm just stating the obvious. This guy has obviously been protected. He's been handled with kid gloves. He has, been the recipient, of sweetheart deals going back decades. And when we understand and when we know, as we do, that there is a Luciferian cabal that is operational, in the orchestration of affairs within our country and throughout the world, and we understand the proverbial Faustian deal with the devil that people make, that they effectively sell their soul, we know that blackmail is one of the mechanisms that is used to maintain control over people. And so it's pretty elementary from my perspective, and it has been all along, that Jeffrey Epstein, he is an individual, who was handpicked decades ago to be a conduit through which the blackmail apparatus would be established for, you know, so many people, the likes of Bill Clinton and God only knows how many other people, you know, have flown on the Lolita Express down to Pedophile Island, have been, you know, videotaped and documented in ultra compromised situations that could then forever be held over them to make certain that they would dot every I, cross every T when it came to fulfilling the expectations of their New World Order handlers. Now, Epstein is obviously being offered up as a sacrificial lamb now, which just goes to show that, you know, amongst, you know, these arch criminals of the New World Order, they don't hesitate to devour one of their own, to offer one of their own up on the altar of sacrifice when it's expedient to the ultimate cause. Who knows? Maybe Epstein got too big for his britches. Maybe he actually began to believe the mythology about himself, and he felt like he was untouchable. And, you know, for whatever variety of reasons, some of which we can certainly make, you know, reasonable hypotheses about, others that we will never know, they have now chosen to, you know, hold this guy up, make an example out of him. And of course, what that does is that diverts people's attention from the even more odious and despicable criminals, his handlers, those who have funneled the untold billions of dollars. You know, it's come out, there was a front page story in the New York Times within the last week that the, you know, alleged multi-billionaire status of Epstein is actually just, you know, a facade as well. That this guy really hasn't managed anybody's money. You know, it's all been a facade that's been created to render the impression, you know, that he was some larger than life, untouchable individual. And I think that while it's important that we talk about this and we understand how this fits into, you know, the master strategies of the satanic forces that unfortunately control so much of our, you know, world and our system today, that we not be so distracted by this that we miss the even more, you know, obvious, you know, facets of the equation that might also be hiding in the open. But it's certainly fascinating. It's instructive on multiple levels. And I think that it's for anybody with their eyes open, you know, it's just yet another confirmation of the things that we have for so long been telling people, that there is a hidden hand of power. You know, it seems like it's unrelated, but even Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, there's a movie out called Unabomber. And in that movie, which was produced in Hollywood, they portray and depict how Ted Kaczynski was handled under the MK Ultra program when he was a young man, when he was in his late teens. And so the truth is hiding in the open.
You know, Rick, before we go, some good questions here. And there's some things we do need to ask ourselves before we go full-fledged behind the prosecution of this man. Who did he make angry in the establishment that they're throwing him under the bus? You know, or maybe he's about 70-something years old. It was about 60-something when all this started 10, 11 years ago. Maybe... you know, his money is more important to him now than the man himself because they have hundreds of other Jeffrey Epsteins planted around white Western countries. You know, these things we need to ask because why all of a sudden now when they had a perfect opportunity to bust him 10, 11 years ago, you know? What do you think?
By offering him...
Go ahead, Eddie.
Oh, you raise a great point. Both of y'all have raised great points. I'm thinking about what Rick has said. Maybe Epstein is the J.P. Morgan of his day. You know, J.P. Morgan was thought to be, in his day, he would have been a multi-billionaire. But when at his death, he was found he was just a mere pauper. He'd only had $2 or $3 million. And he was the agent of the Rothschilds. They found that out there. Also, you know, Putin, like we said earlier, Putin, Vladimir Putin has said that the West is ruled by a bunch of Satan-worshipping pedophiles. You know, me and Matt, what do you think about that? Now I'm going to go back to Matt. I'm not going to hog this microphone. Matt, go ahead, son. Chime in. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, we're definitely run by a bunch of Satanist pedophiles. We talked to Commander Rothstein, or Detective Rothstein, and he you know, talked about his dealings with that seedy, dark world that just surrounds the average Joe in America. The average Joe, the average useful idiot, the average person walking around has no clue about the satanic dealings of most of these people, you know. And another question we need to ask is the toppling of Jeremy Epstein, or Jeffrey Epstein, is he, is this an anti-white ploy or a plot against white people? Because, I mean, imagine this man, he's supposedly been this great hedge fund manager, and he's got these billions of dollars. And all of a sudden, they're so eager to throw him under the bus and to replace all these leaders of our culture. Well, look at who they're replacing our leadership with. We've got people like Representative Ilhan Omar, some, you know, Muslim Saracen out of who knows where, Minnesota or Montana. We've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We've got these types of people moving into place and replacing our former leaders of so-called white countries, so-called leaders of white countries. So that's a question we need to ask, too. Is this just all about toppling white civilization, the final nail in the coffin?
Well, you got to remember I'll go back to Rick after I make this comment. You got to remember Epstein is Jewish. They don't really consider themselves, even though they look white. Some of them don't look white. They're Jewish. They're a total different animal from what you are. They certainly are.
Well, one of our callers, because I'm not suggesting that he is a white man. I'm suggesting all the people connected with him. Why are they suddenly so eager to bust this wide open?
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go back to Rick. Maybe Rick will have the answer to that as soon as we come back from this next break. We'll be right back, people. And when we come back, we want to find out who is Epstein working for. I think I know. We'll come right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
More than 100,000 customers are already without electricity in Louisiana. Hurricane Barry weakened back to a tropical storm after making landfall in Louisiana. Governor John Bel Edwards explained that while the storm was downgraded, some residents still required assistance.
The U.S. Coast Guard did rescue 11 people from their flooded homes in Ile-de-Jean Charles this morning in the lower portion of Terrebonne Parish. That area is outside the hurricane protection system of Terrebonne and was under a voluntary evacuation order.
National Hurricane Center Director Ken Graham says rain bands make the storm appear faster than it is.
Looks like the storms are moving fast, but the reality is they're moving over the same area, so you don't have to be near the center to have problems. 50 miles, 100 miles, 150 miles away, you can have some of those flooding rains. So a very dangerous situation.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join MediShare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people. And if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different. And as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34 Bible. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot says city officials there will not help with the ICE immigration raids set to begin tomorrow. She tells CNN.
I think as a mayor of the city, the thing that I am obligated to do is to speak our values. Our values are not about terrorizing people. It's not about demonizing individuals who are productive members of our community.
Simona Halep beats Serena Williams in straight sets for her first Wimbledon win. The action from Wimbledon Channel Radio.
Halep serves. Williams' backhand up the center. The forehand from Halep is good. The backhand, the forehand from Williams is into the net. And Simona Halep is down on her knees behind the baseline. She cannot believe it. We have a Romanian champion in the ladies' singles.
It was Halep's second Grand Slam title following her triumph at Roland Garros last year. The result denied Williams from equaling Margaret Court's all-time record of winning 24 Grand Slam single titles. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Okay, folks, we're right back, and I'm going to throw a comment out there to Realm of Rick to answer, and we'll spend another segment or so, but before we leave, let's let Rick know, we want to comfort him. We're going to talk about his presidential race before we leave tonight, too, but I thought this was so hot a topic we need to cover. You know, we had a caller that texted me and wanted to know, well, so what? So who does Epstein work for? Now, here's what I'm going to say. I'm throwing this out here to Rick. And after Rick comments, if Matt has time and wants to, he can also comment. But here's what I think it is. I'm pretty sure that the evidence, and Rothstein would, Inspector Rothstein would vouch for this. He works for Satan. He works for the worldwide satanic network that encompasses the entire world. This situation isn't just a United States phenomenon. It, like I said, it happens worldwide. We know that there's been devil sacrifices to the devil in the Vatican, according to Father Malachi Martin, who was a very high-ranking priest. Children sacrificed right here in the United States in Omaha, Nebraska, a.k.a. the Franklin cover-up. He works for the Trilaterals and the CFR, who they were controlled by the Bilderbergers, who knows who they're controlled for. They're controlled probably by the Committee of 30, the Committee of 300, and I firmly believe that these people, the Committee of 30, have probably met face-to-face with Satan himself, and they're trying to run their Christian world down. That's who I think he works for. Who does he work for, Rick?
Well, you're right. There is, without any question, there is a Luciferian apparatus that is extant. It has been, obviously, since the beginning of time. We're dealing with, this, as Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. These are, satanic, demonic, dark spiritual beings and forces that, you know, operate in the shadows, behind the scenes. They work through their front men, those who have made the Faustian pact with the devil, who have sold their soul for riches, for fame, for fortune, all of the things, you know, that are just like Jesus was tempted, you know, by Satan with the kingdoms of this earth. And so you have all too many takers, you know, for this deal, and they sign on and they sell their soul, and then they are beholden. And they have to do, you know, essentially what is expected of them. And most of them do it dutifully and without hesitation. Sometimes, however, they talk out of school. They blurt things out. Remember, Joan Rivers blurted out that Michelle Obama was a transgender and that Barack Obama was our first sodomite president, even though, you know, she was all in favor of that. But within a few short weeks, well, you know, we don't have a smoking gun. We can't prove that there was a direct link between Joan Rivers' demise and her death and the fact that she blurted this out. But, you know, those of us who are studied in these type phenomena, we believe there's probably a good chance. Now, Epstein, probably shockwaves are reverberating throughout the power structure. People are shaking in their boots. And this is, of course, a warning to all of the sycophants, to all of the dutiful servants of the cabal. You know, you better mind your P's and Q's. You better do what you're supposed to do. You better not talk out of school. You better stay in line. Because if they will offer up Jeffrey Epstein as a sacrificial lamb, you know, then obviously anybody else could be similarly handled and treated. So, you know, we need to remember all of this. You know, we look at like Alan Dershowitz, you know, this guy right now, incriminating things are coming out about him. And this goes all the way to the top. It permeates the tentacles of this apparatus. Permeate into every powerful institution, into the high echelons of power throughout the whole world. So we could, you know, obviously we could conjecture endlessly about it. Yeah, it is instructive and it's useful to talk about it. But at the same time, we don't want to let it become such a distraction to us that we neglect to do, you know, the work that we have to do at the grassroots level and continue, you know, to try to storm the gates of hell ourselves and do the things that are within our power to set our hand to and to accomplish.
Rick, I've got a position about our response, about what we can do. I think we need to flush out the 3D chess devil that's behind this. Like I said, I think they're outing this Jeffrey Epstein case now to topple white Western civilization because of all the people that are connected to it. What we need to do, I demand justice. I want some of those, what we're calling victims, some of those young girls need to be prosecuted. I'm no genius, but if some 60-year-old woman wanted me to come after school and strip naked in her house for $300, that's just pure evil. I'm no genius. I wasn't first in my class, but I'm here to tell you, those girls knew better. These girls sold themselves, and we have laws against prostitution. If we want to dethrone the 3D chess devil here, we need to start as the public demanding justice against those girls, too.
You know, Matt, I'm going to go back to you. I'm going to have a quick question for Matt, one of our guys. He's talked about that the Epstein swamp creator was just used to push out the lead U.S. pension fund regulator. And what they wanted to do, they wanted to get easier access to United States pension funds and or strip protections from labor or both. Also, our brother, said that he thinks that the Mossad, Epstein is working for the Mossad. Well, I'm gonna make a statement to you, and you respond, and then we'll go back to Rick. Of course, I'm 95% sure. Yes, he is a Mossad agent, but the Mossad, I don't know how much they control the Bilderbergers, and there is an apparatus called the Bilderbergers. They meet every year, usually in Switzerland. You have the EU. You have this international satanic worshiping apparatus. How much influence, Matt, does the Mossad have in what's going on right now in this sex scandal? Did they set the operation up to entrap all these other politicians like Bill Clinton, who was like the Teflon president? No, and also, y'all, consider this question. Is Bill Clinton ever going to get his just dues, Matt, and then go to Rick?
Of course not. He's too old to probably see justice, unfortunately, unless we respond very quickly. I think every strong-powered Jewish person has almost been through Mossad. Their training and their programs. I mean, you have the likes of Bibi Netanyahu. Almost every president of Israel has been through it. And they even have a Netflix documentary, just so our audience knows, about Mossad is on there. Ex-Mossad agents are bragging about throwing people out of airplanes and stuff and killing them. That's their number one training program for the rich and powerful elite oligarch Jews. But yeah, I think this certainly was, and will Bill Clinton ever get his justice? I don't know. We'll see.
What about it, Rick? What do you think about that? Is Matt right? I think he's right. So you go ahead and respond to what he said, if you don't mind, Rick.
Well, certainly. I mean, the Mossad is legendary in terms of their prowess and the way they're able to permeate into every nook and cranny, the way, whenever there is, gargantuan international crime, their fingerprints are always found all over it. And certainly, as the Jesuits are to, the conspiratorial arm of the octopus, that is Catholicism and the Vatican, the Mossad obviously operates in this capacity in their realm. This conspiracy, this Luciferian conspiracy, is so vast in its proportions, just from a tangible, human standpoint, that, it's difficult for, even someone of great intellectual capability, to begin to map out all of the tentacles and all of the, labyrinths of, power as it's exerted and exercised throughout the world. And again, it's very, very productive for us to document as much of this as possible. But we have to understand that the ability to create money out of thin air, which is the exclusive monopoly of this Luciferian cabal, that this is how they are able to be the paymaster of, countless numbers of very proficient and effective servants of their cause. They have limitless sources of funding. Obviously the Rothschild banking empire, funnels the money through the Jeffrey Epsteins, through the Bernie Madoffs, you know, through all of these people who, you know, their names are household words. They're, you know, familiar on a household level. But people make the mistake of thinking that these wealthy individuals are self-made men, that somehow they use their genius and their intellect, you know, and their talent and ability to become wealthy. No, the hidden hand of power smiles propitiously upon these people, you know, and funnels, you know, vast sums of money into their coffers, lets them, you know, function under the facade and under the front, you know, of having made this money on their own and with their own native genius and ability. But in reality, you know, when you peel back the layers of the onion, it is all basically controlled. And of course, the contrast is so stark, you know, between how, and remember the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Our effort, on the other hand, is devoid of this type of financing, but we have something they don't have.
We got to go to a quick break now, Rick. I'm sorry. We have to go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap this up real, real quick. And then we got to go to your presidential campaign. People will be right back. I hope you're enjoying this conversation tonight.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials.
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh, is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap this conversation up, this topic up real quick, because we've got to get to Rick's presidential campaign before we go. I'm going to give you all two quick questions. First, we'll go to Matt. Matt, answer it as fast as you can, and we'll go to Rick. Then we've got to talk about his presidential campaign. Matt, well, I think I asked you earlier, but will we ever do away with the Federal Reserve and the IRS that Rick has alluded to, or named. He didn't allude, he named it. Are we going to get rid of them ever in our day? What do you think?
They are going to collapse on their own eventually. The very nature of the system is that it spins out of control. It's not a system based on work ethic or value. So I think it's going to – I don't know that we're going to have the ability to get rid of it. It's just going to have to fizzle out. So that's my answer.
How about you, Rick? Will they collapse on their own weight? Will we ever go back to a silver standard like the Constitution put down in law?
Well, you know, many of among our ranks have forecasted time and again the demise, you know, of the evil power structure, you know, based on the fact that it is inherently based on, you know, completely bogus precepts and principles and foundations, and that it seemingly, it inevitably must collapse under its own weight. The house of cards must fall. But what we need to always remember is that, you know, these same villainous forces that we've been talking about, they have the ability to almost indefinitely, in perpetuity, continue to foist their fraudulent mechanisms upon the gullible, unsuspecting people just by maintaining the fraud. As long as people continue to have belief in the viability of the system, then the system can be, you know, perpetually continued onward. Now, at the same time, these same Machiavellian forces, at times, they will choose to pull the plug. They will choose to create a 1929 depression because, after all, they are in the business of crisis management. They love to create a crisis so that they can then, in the dialectic, you know, Hegelian methodology, the thesis, antithesis, and synthesis modality, they can then come on with their proposed solution, and in the process, you know, whether it's, you know, after a world war and they create the United Nations, or whether it's after the Depression and they come up with a New Deal, you know, and Social Security and, you know, other mechanisms such as that, they always come on with something worse. You know, you cast one demon out, seven more come in, like the scripture talks about. Now, I believe that what we can do, though, is we can follow the proper instincts, and of course, we have to be realistic and understand that, you know, you can't redeem the unredeemable. You can't save the unsavable. America is balkanizing right before our very eyes, and we need to understand that there are major swaths of this country that, even though we want to continue to project the truth to every nook and cranny of America, we have to recognize that for the time being, these major swaths of territory are effectively lost. What we have to do is focus on creating and establishing our own bastions of strength. We have to pursue a secessionist course of action. We have to create a prototype, a micro ethno state, as I call it, so that, you know, for instance, at a single county level, for instance, so that we can show the world a prototype of what can be done. And light is contagious. Truth is more powerful than darkness. Life is more powerful than death. You know, and if we get down to the basics of establishing at a micro, you know, cosm type level, the tenets of what the law of God can produce if it's effectively implemented and practiced amongst a like-minded group of people, racial kinsmen, then there's no telling, you know, what kind of power that we might uncork, something that, you know, the world in our lifetime has not seen. And that's what it's going to take in order to slay any of these giants. You know, David killed Goliath. You know, we have all these great metaphors of history, St. George and the dragon. We have these metaphors of being able to slay dragons, being able to bring down to their knees seemingly invincible forces, but we have to have the undiluted purity of truth and the power and protection of Almighty God. And that's what has to be interjected into a national campaign, such as my 2020 presidential campaign, where, God willing, I will be barnstorming major university campuses throughout this nation and creating a tidal wave of upheaval and controversy that simply will not be able to be ignored. And if it has the blessing and the empowerment and the protection of Almighty God, then who knows? We might see some interesting developments, the likes of which we have not been able to, you know, bring forth in the past simply because we had not gotten to the point of desperation that we are now at.
Matt, I want to ask you, when Rick is elected president by the will of God, is he going to be able to do anything for our political prisoners? They say that they're in, you know, like our guys in Charlottesville, I'm thinking about right now. Me and Matt talk about them all the time. They're pretty much lost. Will the president If Rick Tyler is elected president, will he be able to write an executive order demanding the release of these prisoners that we know were railroaded in there without any evidence whatsoever? Matt, will he be able to do that?
The president has that kind of power, but right now it would take divine protection. I think you would have to basically get rid of the triumvirate of the Congress and the black judges that are up there, the black robe judges, and or the black hearted judges, whatever you want to call them. They you're going to have to get rid of those somehow or another as far as politically, because they would be your opponent. So I think it'd be very difficult.
Rick, how about that, Rick? Two questions for you, Rick. Number one, how large a swath is this country? Are you talking about making micro many white states? I know playing devil's advocate, you're going to get a lot of questions. So how is that going to be possible when you have so many enemies against us? They're going to try to prevent that. And my second question was to be to you, it's the same question I asked Matt. Will you be able to do anything for our political prisoners?
Well, of course, you know, realistically, we don't want to come across in any way as delusional. Running for president, you know, is not something that, you know, has to be based on the prerequisite, you know, that you have a good chance of winning from an odds maker standpoint. Sure. We know that running for president is a fundamental right, you know, as an American, and running for president gives somebody the opportunity to, you know, it's not just the bully pulpit of the president itself. There is a bully pulpit that's associated with running for president. And ideas are powerful. Truth is powerful. If you unleash, you know, powerful truth, undiluted, unvarnished truth, then things can happen just as a result of the going forth of that truth that can then become the catalyst for miraculous developments. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, talks about, you know, God healing the land. Well, it doesn't have to be the totality of America from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea. If there were one place, you know, in America, and of course, I obviously am focusing on where I live in Southeast Tennessee. I believe that Polk County, Tennessee is an ideal location to begin to pursue the establishment of this micro ethno state concept that I'm talking about. Mark my words, if one county were to be taken over in an electoral sense, not by force, but by legitimate, you know, electoral activism, and that could happen by a relatively small influx of our people into a county such as Polk County, Tennessee, which only has 16,000 people full time. If a county were to be taken over in terms of its political apparatus and then begin to do things in a way, you know, that was uncompromised, you know, that was indicative of a spirit of boldness, the likes of which has not, you know, been seen or experienced in this country in hundreds of years, then we could very well see the embryonic beginnings of something that could rapidly spread like a prairie fire. Now, obviously, the enemies of truth, the forces of evil, will never give up their hegemonic power, you know, without bloodshed. But sometimes when you're willing to shed blood, you don't have to. We know that biblically, God, for instance, in one night killed 185,000 Assyrians. He just smote them. You know, plain and simple, they were dead in an instant. And that's the power of the God that I serve, the God of Scripture. He, you know, has on, you know, various and sundry occasions throughout history, he has been behind the mass killing of untold millions of people. You know, take the flood of Noah's day. You know, sure. You know, obviously in that time, there was a massive judgment that left, you know, the vast, overwhelming percentage of the world's population dead, dead as a doornail. And sometimes God will unleash his power in this manner to level the playing field on behalf of his people. So let's not forget that we have to pray with our hand on the plow. We have to act as if it's all up to us, but pray as if it's all up to God. We have to be willing to kick the doors open, to storm the gates of hell, to do whatever it is that we have it within our grasp and our power to do, trusting that, you know, if we do walk that road of boldness and of faith and of courage, that we can kindle or rekindle those fires of our ancestors of old. And that's what it's going to take. Obviously, we can't just keep twiddling our thumbs. It can't continue to be business as usual. Or like at our conference at the Montgomery Bell, you know, a few weekends ago, like I said, it can't be the old eat, meet, and retreat strategy. Instead, we've got to march forward with a vision. We've got to storm the gates of hell. We've got to make it happen.
I tell you what, you just gave one heck of a campaign speech right there. We'll definitely have to have you back on. We're about to run out of time. We'll have to have you back on numerous times before the presidential race. Matt, it sounds to me like what Rick is saying is that once you start a war, when the globalists try to start a limited war, they never know where that war is going to go, how big it's going to get. So maybe that will happen to Rick in his presidential run. Who knows? Who knows? People, I hope you've enjoyed this hour. Stay tuned. We're getting ready to go to the second hour. We're going to bring up Dave Gaharry talking about the new movie coming up, Sacrificing the Liberty. Thank you so much, Rick, for coming on tonight. And Matt, don't you go anywhere, fella. I need you.
Thank you, Eddie. It's been an honor.
Yes, sir.